Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Carrie Lutz, and today is October 2nd, 2017. Our hearts and wishes go out to all the victims in Las Vegas of that horrible massacre, but life must go on. And questions, comments, etc., email us at kl@carrielutz.com. So we're now in the first day of the month, the first business day, and that means it's time for Mickey Fulps' monthly major market review for September of 2017. Mickey, hello.
Hi, Gary.
Hey, it was an interesting month, to say the least, not the least of which because Bitcoin was not the runaway leader for a change. And the markets have apparently resumed their upward climb.
Well, the world markets kept rolling over the month, of course, led by U.S. markets. We had record closing highs for the Dow, the S&P 500, NASDAQ, the Russell 2000, and probably most importantly, Dow Transportation Index, which is always a leading economic indicator. So let's get to it. The Dow closed above 500 at 22,506 for a 5% gain over the quarter, 2.5% over the month. S&P 500, 25,19, almost 2% monthly up and 4% for the quarter. NASDAQ up 1% over the month, closed just below 6,500 at 64.96, 6% gain over the quarter. And finally, the Russell 2000 is catching up, had a very good month, up to a record high of 14.91 for a 6% gain, largely, I think, driven by the Trump tax plan.
Yeah, and the Russell was lagging a bit.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So that certainly was a good news, a confirmation, if you will, as far as the advance being fairly widespread.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so even Canada had a good month for a change.
Yeah, finally, the Toronto Big Board, the TSX, was in, has reached positive territory for the year. A decent month at 15,635, up almost 3% for the month and 3% for the quarter. I think that's probably at least initially driven by Bank of Canada interest rate rises and also an increase in oil prices. The Venture Exchange, meanwhile, was flat over the month. It's been range bound for the last 4 months. No retail interest, although the pros, and I would consider myself as a professional speculator, we are positioning ourselves for what we think will be a bull market in commodities and the junior resource sector. Meanwhile, the emerging market index, MSCI, was actually down 6 points for the month, but 7% up over the quarter. It's obviously in bull market territory because it keeps making higher highs and lower lowers. Just had a bit of a dip at month end. The VIX, record lows since its inception and by the Chicago Board of Trade, actually the Chicago Board of Options,
right.
But part of that bigger entity in 1993. So the data goes back to, was calculated back to 1990. Below 10, close at 9.51, record lows.
Yeah, pretty soon they're going to have to shut that index down if it keeps going the way it is, right?
Yeah. Well, it just shows you there's just no volatility in the indexes, or S&P 500 specifically, just keeps ticking, slowly ticking up and up and up. In fact, today it's surging once again at 25.26 as we speak. All the U.S. markets in record territory today.
Remarkable. Remarkable. Well, now we move to our currencies, to our money, and, you know, not a whole lot of action this month for the dollar, euro.
Well, I might tend to disagree on that. The monthly, the dollar became very oversold. It hit a low of 91.4 on September 8th, and then it's gone up and up and up since then on the hawkish yelling comments for rate increases, the economy strengthens, and it really needed to fill in the gap because it was oversold. It finished the month at 93.1, which is what, a 1.7% gain from its low on the 8th of September. And part of it, too, was weakness in other currencies. Draghi vacillated throughout the month on continuation of euro stimulus. The euro was down to 1.18 for a percent loss over the month. He had a 3% gain over the quarter, reflecting the weaker dollar during the summer months. Meanwhile, 10-year Treasury bonds, a steady uptick all month on those interest rates as our yield rates as the bond prices went down. I have to think that old Yeller's drool and drivel, she came out midweek last week with very hawkish hedging on rate increases, and it vacillates from month to month. But the 10-year Treasury was up to 2.33 for almost a 10% gain over the month. But that said, is only up 1% over the quarter. And you mentioned Bitcoin. It continues on Mr. Toad's wild ride. Started the month at 4950 on September 1st, dipped below 3000 on September 16th, now closed the month at 4164. You know, there's been a lot of debate in the alternative media as to whether it's taking away from gold and is it the currency of the future, I refuse to accept a fiat financial instrument that requires the internet to function. Terry, that is not money, no, in my opinion.
It's not money yet because it's not a medium of exchange. Till I can go to Starbucks and get my double tall Breve latte and pay in Bitcoin, it's not money. It might.
I would think that it's never money because unless you've got an internet connection, i.e. electricity, you got no way to use it at all.
Arguably, you're right, but it still can be, you know, like your credit card is money, even though it's not cash in hand.
Well,
or your debit card
exchange. Yeah, I'm not sure it's
exactly
money.
Exactly. Well, but the definition of money, number one, is it's a medium of exchange, store of value, portable, divisible, and rare. And there's a couple of others that I'm leaving out because I just don't remember them.
Yeah, well, it might be one or two of those criteria, but
it's some of them.
I'll stick with gold and also have a few Franklins in my pocket at all time.
Yeah, well, the gold will be good. The Franklins is an open question, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Hey, so we're getting to our metals now, and there's some interesting things in the ratios. So we're going to cover the metal ratios with the metals this time. So gold, a rather lackluster month.
Well, it's interesting. It had a 60-day period from July 7th to September 8th, where it was on this pattern, a sawtooth pattern up, which is a very bullish pattern. Mm-hmm. And then from September 8th, when it had a high of 1346, and I should say it started at a low of 1212 on July 7th. From the 8th to the 29th, it had a sawtooth down, and it closed the month at 1269. It has broken important resistance at 1280 to the downside. So who knows? But the charts say that resistance is broken. However, seasonal trends say that gold should be going up during this period of time with the Indian festivals and wedding season. Yes. And North American Western World love trade coming on in November and early December. That said, gold closed the month at 1279, down 3%. Up 3% over the quarter. Silver and platinum both mimic gold over the month. Silver closed at 1663 for a 5% loss. Platinum closed at 910 for almost a 9% loss over the month. What is probably really most interesting to me is palladium. And as you told me 3 or 4 months ago, the platinum palladium ratio was headed toward equality. Yeah. And it actually reached that for the final 3 days of the month. It was less than one. We have not seen that happen in 16 years. But Kerry, it reversed itself today. So,
but we had a bet. We had a bet.
I think we did have a bet.
I think you're going to buy me lunch.
Happen, but I qualified my remarks by saying if it does happen, it's not going to last very long because let's look at it this way. Palladium is mainly an industrial mineral, and it's used in catalytic converters, specifically gasoline engines, motors, because it's cheaper than platinum historically.
Right. That's why they came up with it.
Platinum is a much better catalyst, and you use less platinum. So basically, over the last 15 to 20 years, because palladium is generally historically much lower in price than platinum, much easier to obtain in the Western world. Auto manufacturers or OEMs, which supply catalytic converters, have switched their converters to palladium at the expense of platinum. So if this were to happen for very long, they're going to switch back to platinum.
Yeah. It probably takes a while to do that because the market is so small, so thinly traded. I mean, they'd have to be buying up like every platinum future contract to do a switchover because it's just not something you just do on a moment's notice.
Well, but Kerry, here's the deal with platinum and palladium. There's inventories of platinum right now. Mm. There's excess supply of platinum. And so it's not about futures and options so much as there's a ready supply of platinum in inventory that could supply the market. I think the technology end of it, maybe that's what you're trying to get
to. Yeah, it's a switchover.
Would be the bottleneck, if you will.
Yeah, and I think it is a great arbitrage to buy palladium and sell platinum at this point. That would be a great spread for sure.
Well, I would be buying platinum right now at the physical platinum at the expense of both gold and palladium because it is so oversold and is so down right now. And to tell you the truth, I have been buying platinum for about 3 years now when I do buy precious metals. So the problem with platinum, buying it physical platinum, is the markup. And right now, it's about 7%, where is about the best I can find, a 7% markup over the spot price, as opposed to a markup of somewhere around 2.5% for gold bars. So if any of the listeners out there know where to buy platinum bars with a less markup than about 6.5% to 7%, please get a hold of me. Contact at mercenarygeologist.com because I'm looking right now.
Hey, it's a good buy. No matter how you figure it, it's been in the dumps for so long, you got to wonder when it's coming back. But this could be the final cross. It could be.
Well, and so I have a long-term outlook on these things. You know, I hoard precious metals, so I'm just basically trying to buy the ones at any particular time that give me the best arbitrage. And speaking of arbitrage, the gold-silver ratio this month is at 77, so my buy signal for silver is that ratio at 80, and it certainly is approaching that.
Yeah, at this rate, it might not be long, that's for sure. And then
I should also mention, I'm not going to let you get away before I talk about the gold to platinum ratio. And that now is, I should say, the platinum to gold ratio, that's down to 0.71, which is an all-time low.
All-time. Yeah, I mean, it hit 0.75 back in February of 16, but it's always trading above gold or has historically for a long, long time. So that trend is going to get reversed at some point, no doubt. So, and then finally, Dr. Copper didn't put in a stellar month, but it was a good quarter.
Well, copper, the chart of copper on the uptick and the immediate downtick very much resembles what happened to gold over the last 3 months, let's say. Copper spiked to 312 on, I think, September 8th. But then it immediately lost 12 cents. It got so overbought that it had to fill in. And it's been consolidating in the low 290s for the past 2 weeks, which is very encouraging. Just got ahead of itself and had to pull back. When everybody gets on one side of a trade in the futures and options market, and the net longs were at near record highs, that's a good signal that something's going to reverse, and it did. We're very happy it's consolidating, closed the month at 293 for a 4.5% loss over the month, but a 9% gain over the quarter. You look at the futures curve, the three-month out price is at near record levels right now. So a very strong futures curve and bodes well for copper in the near term.
Absolutely. Copper is looking pretty good. So now we go to the energy sector. And what a difference a month makes.
Yeah, a very good month on the uptick. In nearly the entire month, we got over the hurricane. OPEC is behaving with its production cuts. The U.S. rig count is flattened. Shale's taken a bit of a break, still growing, but not growing as much. U.S. exports are starting to surge. It's now... some analysts talking about we should be at over 4 million barrels a day in exports by 2020. And that's like crude, shale oil, because we don't have the light crude refinery capacity in the Gulf Coast. We're set up for heavy oil. So, you know, the U.S. is not that far away from energy independence now. And meanwhile, oil demand continues to increase, largely driven by third world countries, up 1.5% year over year. Let's look at the prices. WTI close a month. At 51.67, we haven't seen these levels since February or March, I guess. Up 12.5% for the month, 12.2% over the quarter. Brent was the big winner, up 13% for the month, closed at 57.54, up 20% over the quarter. The Brent to WTI ratio is at 1.11 now, which is a two-year high. Meanwhile, Henry Hub closed the month at 301 for a 2.4% gain. And uranium still is an ugly yellow metal, if you will. 4 months has been range bound now between $20 and $21. But we are encouraged by strong Trump administration support for the domestic uranium mining industry and nuclear power in the U.S.
Just a matter of time, probably, for uranium. But how much time it's going to be, that's the question. Ratios, as far as we pretty much covered the important ones. Any other ratios relevant to today's discussion?
We covered four of the six on our board, and the other two, gold to WTI, and I can't remember what our last one is.
Henry Hub, WTI to Henry Hub.
Yeah, you know, they continue to be... range bound and probably not worth discussing at this point.
Yeah, probably not. So I guess we've covered it all. So big stories, energy, big story, Bitcoin taking a hit, and the markets keep rolling along. Anyway, we got to roll along. So find Mickey's work at mercenarygeologist.com. Correct me if I've got your Twitter feed right, at Mercenary Geo, right?
Correct.
Hey,
We're now approaching 64,000 followers.
Pretty good. And you can find us at financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Our Twitter feed is at Kerry Lutz. We're at about 15,000 followers, and I'm kind of revamping.
Not bad.
Yeah, we're getting there. And also, the Facebook page is Financial Survival Network. Kind of cover like irreverent, kind of crazy stories that are all over the place these days. Mickey, we will talk to you next month. Same time, same station, all that.
Look forward to it, Carrie.